Domino's shouldn't be alive. Their business was crumbling in the 2000s, with an all-time low share price, falling revenue, and the worst pizza in America. People hated Domino's, and they were on the brink of bankruptcy. But today, Domino's is wildly popular and profitable. They even became the second fastest growing stock of the 2010s, beating out tech giants like Netflix, Apple, Google, and Nvidia. Something happened, but what? How did Domino's escape oblivion when they should have died? It all began with one survey. On customer taste, Domino's ranked dead last in pizza taste, tying with Chuck E. Cheese, which, for context, hosted children's birthdays. Why? Well, Domino's had gone all in on a different strategy: speed. They created the famous 30-minute delivery guarantee where if your pizza was late, it was free. In their eyes, they didn't have to have the best pizza, just the most convenient pizza. Everything was sacrificed in the name of speed, and I mean everything. This policy inherently encouraged dangerous driving from delivery drivers to avoid being late. In 1992, one woman in Indiana was killed by a speeding delivery driver. The following year, another woman was injured when a delivery driver ran through a red light and collided with her car. Both of these resulted in major lawsuits and cost Domino's millions in legal fees and payouts. Domino's quickly dropped the guarantee, although it didn't change the philosophy: being the fastest. Even if the promotion was gone, they continued to focus on speed and not quality. This might have worked for a while in the 80s and 90s, but in the 2000s, it wasn't holding up. Consumer tastes had changed and they wanted better. It didn't matter if your pizza arrived fast, if it was awful, and people hated Domino's. This was their biggest problem, but it was far from being the only one. Around this time when the fateful survey was released, the world was in an economic slump. The 2008 financial crash was just 1 year ago, and now the whole world was experiencing the impacts. With much less money, people valued money more than ever. Typically, this means people will try to buy cheaper, which can mean buying fast food, but not Domino's. Most people didn't want to waste money on bad pizza, even if it came slightly quicker. And while things were already bad outside Domino's, internally, things were terrible. Domino's had taken on a mountain of debt right before the financial crash, over $1.7 billion. That might not sound like a lot for a fast food giant, but at the time, it was more than Domino's revenue, about $1.46 billion, and that number was going down. $1.42 billion in 2008, then $1.4 in 2009. This was bad. Their share price had also fallen to a measly $8. To make matters worse, employee turnover was at an all-time high, which meant the restaurants were extremely inefficient and often understaffed. Domino's had been around forever, but there was a very real and honestly very likely scenario that the brand would turn off the ovens for good. Their strategies weren't working. If they wanted to survive, they needed drastic action. They needed to take a risk and try something different. Most days, I don't have time to think about food. Breakfast is usually just an apple and two slices of bread. Quick and simple. But that changed when I started using today's sponsor, Cookunity, a chef-powered food delivery service that makes eating well ridiculously easy. Cookunity partners with award-winning chefs to deliver fresh, never-frozen meals straight to your door. You pick your meals for the week and they show up fully cooked, ready in minutes. It's restaurant-quality food without the price or time commitment. I've tried other services, but Cookunity easily has the best variety I've ever seen. They had nearly 200 dishes to pick from and tons of vegetarian meals, which I really appreciate. Lately, I've been hooked on their Italian dishes, especially anything by Chef Silvia Aravallo, like her classic spaghetti Napoli with Parmesan cheese. It's flavorful, satisfying, and ready in just 2 to 3 minutes. Honestly, it's a huge step up from my usual routine. If you don't have time to cook, or don't want to, but still want to eat something real, Cookunity is one of the few services that actually delivers on both convenience and quality. You can filter meals by dietary needs, pause or skip any time, and it's cheaper than ordering takeout day after day. And with locally sourced produce, I actually feel good about what I'm eating. To get 50% off your first order of CookUnity meals, go to cookunity.com/logical50. CookUnity connects you with top chefs from across the U.S., delivering their signature dishes fresh to your door. With hundreds of meals to choose from, there's something for everyone. That's cookunity.com/logical50 for 50% off your first order. Thank you to CookUnity for supporting our videos. First, they had to figure out what had gone wrong with their staff. They couldn't overhaul strategy while there was no one staying to implement it. The CEO then, David Brandon, decided to dig deep and figure out why everyone was leaving. He participated in the same training program all frontline employees did. He talked to these workers and what they thought Domino's should do. In his search, he found low morale from workers and store managers without direction. There was a massive disconnect between corporate and the people on the ground. This mattered. These were the people getting the customer complaints and making the pizzas every single day. Before David could make major changes, he had to get these people on his side. Domino's began to relax the strict dress code so staff could be more comfortable while working. He also introduced new leadership training for managers, but most of all, he introduced systems for tracking performance and gathering employee feedback. David Brandon began to reform Domino's culture, and his successor Patrick Doyle would take this to the next level. He continued listening to employees, but he was going to take a leap of faith and revamp Domino's in its entirety.
There comes a time when you know you've got to make a change. You know, you can't lead a company like this unless you love food. I love food. I love pizza.
The thing that he had to change the most was the food. Plain and simple. To get to the root of the problem, he began to conduct research. They ran focus groups for honest feedback, and as he and leadership watched, the feedback was brutal.
Pizza, where's the love? How hard? Bread, sauce, cheese, fresh ingredients. Doesn't feel like there's much love in Domino's pizza.
Domino's pizza crust to me is like cardboard.
Is it hard to watch the stuff? Is this
Yeah, it's hard to watch.
Comments like cardboard crust, worst pizza, no flavor, artificial cheese, and many, many more negative remarks were common. We need to start from scratch, Doyle said. Domino's was going to overhaul everything.
You can't just add a little salt or add a little something to the recipe. I mean, we basically had to start over with a new recipe.
And they were working day and night and weekends to get it done.
But fixing the pizza was only half the problem. Remember, Domino's was ranked the worst. They needed to win customers back. They needed another chance, but that's an extremely hard thing to do. Most people won't come back somewhere where they had a bad experience. Domino's was facing an uphill battle, so Patrick Doyle decided to take a massive gamble. He would go all in on transparency.
You can either use negative comments to get you down, or you can use them to excite you and energize your process of making a better pizza.
Most businesses would quietly change their product and hope they slowly win back customers, but never acknowledge the negatives publicly. Doyle was going to do the exact opposite. Domino's was going to be honest. The campaign was called Sorry We Suck, a massive marketing effort to show customers three things. They had messed up, they were changing, and asking for another chance. Those focus groups you watched earlier with the comments about cardboard crust were from Domino's official advertising. It was an admission of wrongdoing and acknowledgement of feedback. There were billboards in Times Square showing honest, real reviews from customers. Doyle even admitted in ads that we haven't been using real cheese. Terrible things to say about your company, but everyone already knew it, even subconsciously. Doyle explained that the old days of trying to spin things simply doesn't work anymore. Great brands going forward are going to have a level of honesty and transparency that hasn't been seen before. Simultaneously, they were showing that they had changed. Yes, they were using real cheese now. They needed this to work. Their very survival was betting on it. Franchisees also agreed to increase their contribution to the advertising fund, as much as 5.5% of all sales. The tension at Domino's was sky high. I'd be lying if I told you I didn't have a knot in my stomach the day that advertising launched, said Doyle. Everyone was betting on this, because if it failed, Domino's would be done for. So, how did it play out? The first response was confusion. A brand admitting their product sucks? In Marketing 101, this is considered a brand suicide. You never admit past decisions were wrong or your product is bad, even if you're fixing it. But Domino's did it anyway. The media began to report on the wild strategy and Domino's honesty. One thing was quickly clear, people were taking notice. But was it the right attention or the wrong kind? Would it just reinforce the existing negative opinions? The response was immediate and overwhelming. In the following year, 2010, US same-store sales jumped 9.9%, the first time they had even grown since 2007. That doesn't sound like much, but this is the American fast food market. An industry that's mature and very saturated, achieving even 1 to 3% growth is very impressive. Almost 10% was unheard of, especially for a brand known for bad products. Something was happening. In 2010, Domino's revenue grew for the first time in almost 5 years, by about $170 million. But then, something interesting happened. That growth began to accelerate. More and more people were trying Domino's new pizza and returning. Every single year for the next decade, Domino's revenue grew, and with it, their share price. The gamble had paid off, but Doyle wasn't finished. With problems fixed, he could now look ahead to the future. Domino's began introducing new technology for online orders, introducing mobile ordering and better order tracking for customers. They hired more staff to analyze their digital data to better serve customers. In fact, pretty soon, half of the workers at Domino's HQ were software analysts. They had turned around the brand and were now growing to new heights. Doyle's strategy was paying off. In fact, it was one of the most successful business turnarounds in decades. But that's not all. The culture change led by David Brandon and Patrick Doyle was also paying off. Employee turnover was going down and morale was going up. In 2015, the Detroit Free Press Top Workplaces surveyed over 61,000 employees on what they thought of their leadership. Doyle was named the best and won the Top Workplaces Leadership Award. Employees loved his communication, his honesty, and his transparency. One employee in the survey wrote, "Doyle knows how to make people excited about Domino's Pizza and continue to work hard for the company." Doyle has since moved on from Domino's, but he changed the company forever. His strategy was risky, but it had to be. It had to be bold, ambitious, and a bit crazy. The company was dying after all. You don't get dramatic change without some risk. Doyle explained that, "I think the vast majority of companies are far too conservative in how they approach risk. They simply spend too much time trying to figure out how to de-risk. Rather than dwell on avoiding mistakes, it's important to customers and employees of a winning organization to inspire through our action." Luckily for Domino's, this risk paid off big time, and it also showed everyone something else. When companies are honest, transparent, and showing they're changing, people give them a second chance. They're often willing to give them the benefit of the doubt when they show some vulnerability. This is exactly what happened with another American company, T-Mobile, who went from the worst in the industry to the dominant player in an even wilder story than Domino's. Check out this video to find out how, but until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.